and welcome to Coffee Talk with Lena Midla, where wellness, wisdom, and a little bit of woo come together. So go ahead and pour yourself a cozy cup and join me for conversations that inspire, empower, and help you unleash your limitless potential. Hey friends, welcome back to another episode of Coffee Talk with Lena Midla. And today I'm sitting down with such a dear friend and soul sister of mine, Shannon Amberg. Shannon and I share a love for many things. We pass tons of memes back and forth. Some of the things that we love are super sciencey, like the ocean and outer space. Some are super woo. But one area I'm excited to chat with her about today is strength training. In fact, we actually use the same training methodology in our training, and we train with the same coach, Jedi Master Corey Kreit.
He's going to love that.
What makes her journey so powerful is that she spent the last few years intentionally adding muscle to her naturally lean frame. And today we're diving into what that's been like for her physically, mentally, emotionally. And we're going to talk about how gaining strength has also transformed her inside and out, how she's recently discovered that training is her deepest expression of self-love. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Shannon, I'd love for you to introduce yourself a little bit about your background, your lifestyle, what led you to strength training in this way.
Wow. Okay. So first of all, I'm so honored that you would ask me to do this with you. It has definitely been a journey. And as you know, you and I met this way, like Corey introduced us. And so I'm so grateful for that. And I've just been trying to capture my personal journey of growth via social media. So it's just been really fun to catalog that. But a brief background in who I am. I've always been active. I was a three-sport athlete in school. I was a collegiate athlete. And then once I was out of college, I was training in Taekwondo and running half marathons. And then I had babies. So I've always been an active person. And I knew once I hit my late 30s and early 40s, especially, I would say right around age 40, I became very aware of how important it was going to be to stay as strong as possible for as long as possible. I wanted to be one of those 80-year-old ladies that can deadlift 200 pounds, right? Like for me, I see that happening and I'm like, that is goals. That's goals right there. And our bodies are so magnificent and so adaptable and plastic. Like when you challenge it to do something and you feed it well and you nurture it well, it's going to respond for you. So I'm 46 now. So about age 38 is when I started training with Corey in the DVRT system, knowing that I wanted a strength training system that was going to keep me accountable and consistent. And the only way I was going to do that with two small kids and a full-time job was if I had to go meet somebody who was going to be training me every day. And then I loved it so much and I saw so much change very quickly, even just going one to two times a week, that I finally invested at a much more intense level with Corey because he's a genius coach and just so supportive. It was in 2021, well, probably November of 2020, that I really decided I want to see what's possible. I want to be an N of one in my own experiment of what my body can do, what my mind and my spirit can do to see how far I can go. I just wanted to see what was possible.
That's amazing. I remember that inflection point, at least in the way that you were sharing it on social. So getting a little bit older, there's that I think we move from in our like 20s where we're trying to literally kill time. We're like, we got all the time in the world. I can train yeah. in the gym an hour and a half, 2 hours a day, 6 days a week. And then life comes at you hard with kids. And it's like, whoa, how do I become more efficient? And also I'm not sleeping well. And also I'm probably not nourishing myself the best. And also stress levels are higher. So my body's not feeling as good and as it ready as it should.
Yeah.
And then hitting that point of, oh, okay, I'm not just training for aesthetics. I'm training to be anti-fragile.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. It's about resilience and grit. I mean,
yeah. Yep. Absolutely. Okay. So along those lines, something that I've noticed in working pretty much exclusively with women since I started in the training arena was a fear of putting on mass. And I know that my old barcode days, one of the ways that I worked to reframe what we were doing was rather than picking yourself apart, really focusing on what you're getting out of every session, the ability to maybe go from holding a plank to being able to do a push-up or getting less sore or seeing how confidence ripples over into other aspects of your life, really focusing on gaining. And so what I'm curious about, because you've shown this in your social media where you're comparing, you know, where you started to after a bulk phase, after a cutting phase, after years where there's actual size being added to your frame.
Yes.
As a woman, talk to me about like all of the things that go through your head and your heart as you are gaining.
I am so glad that we're having this conversation, and it's something that I've been wanting to figure out the best way to articulate in an empathetic and compassionate way for any woman who wants to listen to this. So I appreciate this opportunity. It, you know, while being an N of one in my own experiment to become stronger, I had to really get very uncomfortable with the understanding that I was going to expand on all levels, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and especially physically. And you know this, like as women, we're intentionally and unintentionally conditioned to believe that we need to take up as little space as possible physically. And that's not fair, right? And that's a conversation for a whole other day. But when we enter the world and have to move through it with the expectation that in order to be valid or legitimate or accepted, we have to look a certain way or take up like a certain size, and anything beyond that is a flaw. So for me personally, I actually did have body image issues at a much younger age in college, and that comes with trauma. But as you work through it through the years, you understand that it's okay to look the way you are. It's okay to embody the skin that you're in, but it's definitely a psychological like mind game, and in its emotional minefield at times. So when I decided to intentionally start this journey, first of all, I see women all the time that have muscles, and I think it's the most beautiful, stunning thing ever. It's so powerful. It's so empowered. And I wanted that. I wanted to feel so empowered in my skin. And I would be lying to say that aesthetics doesn't play a role in my first reasoning for wanting to do this. But as I have moved through this journey over intentionally the last 4 years of specifically adding bulk to my frame, it became very clear to me that this is about loving myself so fully and appreciating the capacity of my body to respond to that depth of love that I have, the respect, the reverence I have for, honestly, the temple it is that carries my soul. Like, that has been the biggest revelation for me. The more I can honor the body that I'm in, the more my soul can expand and do the work here that it's meant to do. So I hold that as a priority. Now that's a bit woo, and I hope your listeners appreciate that. I know you appreciate that. But just to back up a little bit, when I made the deal with Corey, we've been working together for 8 years, which is amazing, almost 8.5 years. And it wasn't until like November of 2020 where I had asked him to start building me programs that would increase my bulk, like my glute size, my shoulders. I wanted to just be stronger overall. I had some very specific goals, weight goals, like lifting goals that I wanted to accomplish.
Weight that you wanted to lift, not weight that you wanted to lose or gain.
Yes. Yeah. Like I wanted to be able to clean and press an 80-pound bag eventually, which is a big deal for a woman. And so he was loading me up with all of the right programming, and I was doing well until I wasn't doing well. So there's actually several components to this about bulking the frame. I kept hitting plateaus. I could not get past 8 pull-ups. I could not clean an 80-pound bag successfully. And what I realized was I probably needed to switch my nutrition. Mm. And that's when I had Megan, the trainer, run some numbers for me. And what we discovered was that I was only meeting half of my protein goals just for surviving. Like based on my basal metabolic rate, what I was actually taking in for nutrition was only about half of what I needed just to actually be okay, not given the extra exertion of strength training. In that moment for me, I was so shocked because I thought I was taking care of myself. Like I really thought I was taking care of myself. And then I had such an intense process of grief around the fact that I was asking my body to do something, demanding my body to do something, and not giving it half of what it needed to be able to do that for me. And it was still trying to perform. And in that moment, I realized, oh my gosh, I've been so unintentionally cruel to my own form. And maybe that sounds a little harsh, but that was my grief process around the realization of like, we think we're caring for ourselves, but that for me was the realization of how much work I had to do around my own body image, my own self-love, my own process of growing into and expanding myself fully. So she hooked me up with a nutrition program that would get me on track. And let me tell you, trying to fit 100 grams of protein a day at that point into my body was work. I didn't even know how it was going to fit. She'd be like, you have to eat more. And I'm like, girl, I don't know how to do it. Like, I don't know how to get it to fit in me. And then once my body adjusted to it, it was much easier. And I eat like about 170 grams of protein a day now.
But for those of you that are listening who may not know, I'm 5'1¼". Shannon, how tall are you?
I'm 5'9½".
Yeah. Shannon is really embodying that expansive physical presence. She is tall. She is muscular. I know that when I work with clients, since I'm not a nutritionist or dietitian, but we can work on strategy. And the very first thing, especially as I'm working with women who are closer to perimenopause, menopause, is just focusing on protein. Like we don't even need to get into the nitty gritty of other things for a while, because learning how to, at a minimum, consume 100 grams of protein a day is hard, and it's really satiating once you get there. So a lot of the other stuff can kind of fall off your plate. Just trying to focus on that one piece. And the older we get, the more protein we need, because I want to caveat this before I let Shannon continue. It's not protein that our bodies need. It's amino acids.
Yes.
And the older we get, the less efficient we are at stripping the amino acids from the protein. Yeah. And so we have lots of strategies we can implement, getting better sources of protein that convert better, adding enzymes into the mix to help with that process. But part of the reason that our protein needs go up is because we're less efficient at using it. And growing muscle, I'm sure you've heard trainers already say this. It's made its round on Instagram and through the podcast world, but actually building muscle is hard.
It takes a long time. Yep. Yeah. And within, 4 weeks of changing my diet, I started to break through my plateaus. So, but I also added creatine, I added glutamine, I added branched chain amino acids, right? And a lot of meat. I mean, I wasn't a vegetarian before, but I added a lot more animal protein and sources of protein that would nourish. And I was timing my protein throughout the day so that it would maximize my recovery and muscle growth. So once I got past that, plus my chronic migraines went away, which is a hormone issue. Like, I had so many things click into place once I realized I needed to get my nutrition on track. And then once I got my nutrition on track, within 4 months, I was bulking my frame and I was hitting goals and exceeding them. And that's when the real work started of, okay, we're going to spend so much time adding volume to my frame, adding volume to my training. Lena, I spent 24 months bulking because, and that's a long bulk. Most people spend 6 months bulking, but based on my nutrition, my nervous system, my body's metabolic rate, like, we needed to spend that amount of time getting my body used to being fed and using the fuel. And in that time, I put on 19 pounds of weight to my frame. Now, me going into this, I was thinking, okay, we do this for 6 months and I'm going to do a cut and I'm going to see a great result. We only did a shortcut just to see what would happen in the midst of that 24 months. But because I didn't see the results that I had, like, wired into my brain of, oh, I'm going to have abs that are visible. Oh, I'm going to, like, have some definition. It really bummed me out. Mm-hmm. And I was hit with this, like, feeling of, oh my gosh, like, physically I feel great. Visually, it doesn't look the same as what I feel. And so I had these old programs come back in my head of, like, oh, you're not valuable because you don't look a certain way, or you're not succeeding, or I realized this is going to be a journey of years, not months. And that's an important perspective for everybody to consider, is like, this is a commitment to you, a commitment to your own value and worth, a commitment to what you understand as most important for you. And for most people, I would hope it's feeling good, like, feeling good and feeling ready to expand into your fullness. So when I hit that point of, oh, I'm doing this for me to be stronger, but when I realized, like, I wasn't getting the results that I thought I would have sooner, that's when it hit me like a ton of bricks. Like, Shannon, this isn't about getting stronger. This is about loving yourself and loving yourself so fully that whatever form you show up in, you're still valuable. So when I hit that point, that was about a year into intensive training, everything changed for me. And it became a daily dedication to, how do I love myself best with the way I move my body, with the food I put in my mouth, with the way I talk to myself, with how I look at myself lovingly when I see my reflection in the mirror. And when you are putting on weight onto your frame, it is the biggest mind trick. I don't want to swear, right? It is like, it was very challenging for me to see myself growing physically. I had to buy pants 3 times in a matter of 18 months because my booty was expanding. Everything was expanding. My shoulders were expanding. I had to buy new clothes every 4 or 5 months in this journey. And at the most, I'm 20 pounds up from what I was when I started. And that hasn't changed at all in the last couple of years. So it's very stable now. But like going from 132 pounds to 152 pounds, that was wild. So that was like the biggest challenge for me to look at myself and feel myself in that frame, this newness. Even doing pull-ups, even going out for a run, everything was different because of the weight I was carrying. But I knew that I was so much healthier. And so once I could get beyond the feeling of like, I'm not worthy because I'm taking up more space in a way that maybe some people wouldn't find acceptable or attractive or whatever, I really came back to me and I realized all the hard work I was putting in is because I love myself more and I deserve it. I deserve to feel healthy. I deserve to feel strong. I deserve to feel so good in my skin. And, you know, anyone who has something to say about it can just F off, right? Like they've got their own self-work to do, you know, their own self-love to do. So I don't know if that answers your question, but like, it for a while it was a daily practice in like learning to show up for myself and being so honored that I have the opportunity every day to breathe air into these lungs and to move through the world. I don't know, inspiring, helping, experiencing, loving, and I get to lift heavy stuff along the way, and that just makes my body more resilient. And I will say, eventually, like after my 24-month bulk, I did a series of cuts over the course of the next couple of years, and the results are amazing, right? Like, not that that even matters to me anymore, because it really doesn't. What matters to me is like, okay, when I get to the gym, you know, my next goal is to clean and press that 100-pound bag, and I'm going to do it. Like, I'm going to do it. Corey already knows we're going to work toward it. So that's what I'm thinking about now. I'm not thinking about like how, like what size pants am I wearing, or, you know, how good am I going to look in a swimsuit this year? No, it's like, okay, what am I going to celebrate? What victory am I going to celebrate this next time at the gym? And to me, that feels like the biggest lesson of all for me.
I love that so much. Thank you for sharing that and being vulnerable with all the parts and pieces. I know for myself, when I started in this journey of being a trainer and an instructor and a coach, I remember very initially, I almost didn't go audition because I didn't think like I looked like a trainer. Mm-hmm. And then I did it anyway. I was like, this is something you've wanted to do. You're going to do it anyway. And very early on in teaching classes, I remember one woman came in who had the physique of like a Deborah Messing, like very sinewy, like very beautiful. And I just remember admiring her body throughout the course of the class, just like the way you could see her muscles move. And she had like thick, curly, I think it was like red hair as well. And after class, she comes up to me and I asked her how class was. And she goes, oh, it was so great. Thank you so much. But like, how do I get your butt? And in that moment, it was this like mind blown experience. Like, what? I've been spending this entire class coveting your body, and you've spent the entire class coveting mine. So the grass is always greener.
Yeah.
And so that's like part one. The second part is, as females, our forms are more fluid.
Yes.
You know, when I talk to clients who weigh themselves every day, every week, I let them know that day to day, you're not going to necessarily weigh the same, because depending on where you're at in your cycle, if you had pizza the night before that was super salty, our bodies get softer the later we get in our cycle, and then they get leaner and stronger when we're in the beginning stages of our cycle. And trying to affix that point and fixating on it is not self-serving, and you're the only one that observes it that way.
Yes. Gosh.
Like for me, when I see my clients on a weekly basis, when I see you, I'm not thinking, oh, she's 2 pounds up. Oh, she's 2 pounds down. Oh, she's like a little bit swollen in her cheeks. You know, none of that is what we're focused on, but that's what we're hyper-focused on within ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think one of the strategies that I have implemented for myself, because when I first started on a journey of wellness and strength and all of that, I used to call myself out of work and out of my real job, not before I was full-time in training. I used to call in sick when I felt bloated or puffy or my weight on the scale did not match what I wanted it to be. I felt so gross in my own skin that I was like, oh my God, everybody's going to see that I look like a blimp. I didn't look like a blimp. It's our own dysmorphias and our own insecurities. But what I started noticing is that when I look at other people, I don't dissect them down into their parts and pieces. It really is the way you carry yourself, your energy, your soul is really what shines through.
Exactly.
And to your point, the more you honor the home or the vehicle of your soul, mm-hmm. like really lovingly honor it, the more you shine through. And that has nothing to do with size and weight.
Yep. I agree fully. And I wanted to bring up another point too, because I am sharing this journey on social media, it's very personal. I do have a lot of people that reach out and ask me if I'm a coach, and I'm not a coach. Like I'm here to show the way of various, you know, on various things, but I've had a number of women reach out and ask me like, what are you doing? What do you do about nutrition? How are you achieving these goals? And I flat out tell them, like, until I said, you know, you can work on your nutrition. That's going to help you a ton. You have to be very committed and dedicated to like the consistency of your routine. That's also important. And this is a journey of years, not months. And it has to become this understanding with yourself that it's a new way of life for you rather than something you're just going to do to achieve some results. But one of the first things that I will tell them very honestly is you can do all the things that I tell you or I offer up, but until you love yourself, until you have come to a place of such love and reverence for yourself and your body, you will struggle. Like these things won't work because they'll work for the short time. But as soon as you fall into your pattern of like self-deprecation or picking apart your flaws, like these will only be band-aids. And once you come into that place of such deep reverence for yourself, everything, all of the excuses just dissipate, they evaporate, and it becomes a way of life for you because you understand how worthy you are of such care. And that is the best way I can explain what happened to me in this journey. And I'm so grateful. And now it's like a sacred ritual. Mm-hmm. I rarely miss a gym session these days. Like it has to be something huge for me. Like I have to be sick as a dog to miss a gym session. And it didn't used to be that way when I first started. I would call out for every reason, right? And now it's like, now I could be recovering from COVID like a week later and I'll be in the gym working out. Because
100%.
I know, yeah, it's just the reverence. So I tell women especially, you can do this, but your biggest work has to be the emotional and spiritual side of this, like coming back to you and understanding what is your why? What's your motivation? If you're doing this for external validation, it's not going to, you won't get as far as fast or completely. You have to be doing this for your internal love of self. And that's the secret sauce.
I love that so much. And I'd like to also reflect back to you that I feel like something that you've done over the course of this time and really is It's something that I've been thinking a lot about lately. We, when I was on Sherpa Breath and Cold retreat a few weeks back, we had an incredible array of speakers and experts in. But one speaker, his name is Matt Vincent. His brand is called Not Dead Yet. Fascinating. Oh, awesome. Work. He's incredibly motivating. But one of the things he really spoke with us about and that really woke me up was the idea of not just having big, big, lofty goals, but raising your floor. So it's not just about how high you can shoot on the best days, but on your worst days, can you raise the floor a little bit? Like, what are your non-negotiables? And showing up for yourself versus thinking of all the excuses not to show up, one that builds really, really deep trust with yourself.
Yes.
And, you know, think about the way that you show up for you, the listener, your clients, or your coworkers, or your children. You don't find all of the excuses not to show up. You show up. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, those people wouldn't trust you, or they wouldn't ask so much of you anymore. So why do we not show up for ourselves? And if you think that your subconscious isn't listening to you not showing up, it absolutely is. And it can either prove to you that you're not capable, or it can prove to you what you are capable of.
Yes.
And within, I'm going to give another amazing shout out to the style of training that we use, DVRT, Dynamic Variable Resistance Training. Something that I think is really important to understand, and I share this with all of my clients as well, is that you don't have to feel like $1 million to have a great workout. In fact, doesn't matter what state you come in, you should leave feeling better. Movement begets movement. When you're tired, starting to move actually lights up different energetic pathways that give you more energy. If you're feeling down, you're getting a big endorphin rush through training. If you're not feeling as strong, that's okay. The only thing I ask for my clients is if you had like a rough night of sleep or something, just let me know. And maybe we won't be as, you know, we won't dive so hard into power training or something if your nervous system's not feeling it. But using the excuse that you're not 100%, so it's not going to be worthwhile, is another way to keep yourself down, to keep yourself small in all the ways.
And I just want to compliment you and give you your roses on being that kind of a coach or a trainer, to be so aware and attuned to energy level of someone coming in for a session and making the necessary adjustments. It's so important to allowing or giving that client the opportunity to choose to take care of themselves in that moment, as opposed to doing what they think is expected of them and feeling like a failure or like they're letting someone down. And I will also say that Corey Kripe is so amazing at that too, where he can tell where I'm at in my energy level. And I will be reluctant to go down and wait or to renegotiate a movement. And he knows that. And that's just part of my personality. Like, I want to go big or go home, but I'm getting much better at like listening and adapting to when I need to. So I'm very honest with him, like where I'm at in my cycle. And I'll be like, bro, I want to do that for you today, but like I'm operating at about 75%. And he'll be like, okay, let's adjust it. So, you know, for me, like tail end of luteal phase is really, really hard. And all other times during the month are fine, but like tail end of luteal phase just kicks my butt in a way that like I never imagined in my 40s it would be such a struggle. But I think it's really wonderful that you can create that space for your clients to be able to love themselves better in that moment and be proud of the effort that they can bring forward versus like what they feel like they need to in order to not let someone else down, right? Yeah.
I love that. No, 100%. And thank you for that.
Yeah.
What it boils down to, I think, is that in your journey, in the journeys that all of you listeners may be on, I think one of the biggest mindset shifts we can each make is not thinking about our bodies as our adversaries, something we need to punish or beat Yes. down or keep in line. But you're co-creating mm-hmm. your lived experience in this physical form
Yes.
with your body. And mm-hmm. so, getting very clear with your feels and with your body and being able to parse apart, is that the protective part of my brain that doesn't want me to expend extra energy? Is that, because we're all trying to conserve energy all the time, right? There's a piece of us that doesn't know we live in this modern world where everything is available to us 24/7. And so it wants to protect us. So
right.
is my desire not to move because I'm trying to protect my energy? When I've done 10 reps and in the next set, I'm 6 reps deep and I have this inner knowing that the next one is going to be ugly, do I keep going? Or if I'm like, great, congratulations, I got to fatigue faster than I thought I was going to and live mm-hmm. to train another day. And really learning to trust the inner voice, I think yep. is such an important part of the process in showing up for yourself and understanding that you're on the same team as yourself.
Yes. Lena, I love that so much. And I mean, for your listeners' perspective, like I used to be a university professor and 8 years ago, I started my own business. I'm very sensitive to energy and clairvoyant, clairaudient. So I work as an energy healer, Reiki master energy healer, and I help people with their energetic health and their spiritual health and emotional and mental health. And that all has implications for the physical health and how all of those patterns express through the physical tissues. So I tell them that all the time, like your body, this physical form is your partner. It's your ally, your teammate. And when you can fully embrace this as the love of your life, your partner, the container for your soul to walk through this life and experience its lessons. Without your body, you would not be here learning. Like this is how your spirit is contained right now. And it's such an honor for you to be here to experience these lessons. So treat it like it's your best friend. Treat it like it's your baby, right? Love it like it's somebody so dear to you that you can't go a day without telling it what you feel for it and how grateful you are for having the opportunity to share your space with it. So absolutely, like the energetics, this is why it's a journey of self-love, right? The full integration of spirit with body. And for me, movement is medicine. It's just in my like makeup, right? Like I need to move sometimes or a lot of times very aggressively to move that energy through me and ground me. But what I've learned in the process is this is how I can fully experience the physical form as a spirit, learning how to navigate this dense world and learn my lessons. So taking care of it, becoming as strong as possible, becoming so in tune with the physical form that I know exactly what it needs each day is the best way I can honor it.
Oh, that is so perfect. I want to spend just like the last few minutes with a little bit more for my listeners, just like little practical takeaways. And then we'll put a beautiful bow on this conversation. What is your advice for women who are hesitant to strength train or have a fear of getting bulky?
Oh my gosh. First and foremost, I would say just do it. Just start. And I've been doing this intensively for 4 years and I am still not bulky. Right? I have muscles. I've added a lot of weight to my frame, but I'm still not bulky. So the fear that bulk is going to happen, unless you are like popping steroids left and right and working out 7 days a week for multiple hours at a time and eating tons and tons of protein, you're not going to get bulky. What's going to happen is you're going to get stronger and more confident. And that's going to be a beautiful thing. So I would say just do it. Like just pick somebody you trust and have them guide you through it.
Amazing. Shannon, what are your top practices for staying consistent and enjoying the journey?
Well, I have a coach that I trust implicitly, and he is so supportive, and he is a dear friend in my life now. Like, so for me, I needed someone who would hold me accountable, even though he doesn't like call me, you know, and be like, "Hey, where are you?" He will check up on me, but I know that he's there waiting for me. So I'm going to show up. If I were left to my own devices, it would be very easy just to be like, "Oh, I'll go tomorrow." Right. Even though I'm disciplined, I still hit, you know, I fall into that trap. And at this point in my journey, it's become so much a part of my life ritual that I don't even think about not going. So it does, I had to, early in the stages of getting into this, I had to tell myself, this is so good for me. This is character developing. This, you're going to, like, if you're consistent, you're going to reach all the goals that you have in mind. Like, this is so good for you. You're going to live long for your kids. You're going to be strong for your kids. And partly, like, you know, my kids are always like, "You're stronger than some of our friends' dads." And I'm like, "Yeah, I am. That's awesome."
I love that. You mentioned these throughout, but any resources or habits that have really supported your transformation process?
I have an exceptional group of girlfriends, and we all cheer each other on. I met all of them at the gym. You're one of them. Like, having a cheering section, a sisterhood, you know, and for the men who are listening too, like, having people in your life who really support your goals and love seeing you succeed is so important. Like, I'm so not in the business of competition. You know, I'm competitive, but I don't like it when we like tear each other down because you're jealous or whatever. I'm in the business of supporting one another. And I have a very strong group of girlfriends from the gym that I'm at. And that's incredible. I also follow a lot of people on social media who are super body positive, like growth positive, right? Like, you're doing this for the growth of your well-being, your mindset, your psychology. So I follow a lot of women who talk very positively about what this means for you moving forward and the person you're becoming every single day. So I would tell people, like, find key people that you would consider, like, you know, positive influences on your journey. I also had to self-advocate and do a lot of research for myself in terms of what is best for a middle-aged, like 40-something-year-old woman's body. You know, everybody wants to say you should be doing this kind of workout or you should be eating this. And I'm like, no. You know, in fact, like, HIIT workouts every single day are not good for women in their 40s. It's too much. We should be focusing on slower paced and heavy lifting. Like, so I would tell people, do your research, find a really good, knowledgeable coach that can guide you through whatever level of this that you're willing to entertain. I knew I had to go all in with my coach and be like, "I trust you fully. Give me, make the programs. I will do what you tell me to do." And yeah, surround yourself with really good people who are going to celebrate your victories for you and with you.
That's amazing. Shannon, what's next for you in your training and self-love journey? It feels like you've accomplished so much and have really embodied this version of yourself. So what's next for you?
I mean, the same stuff. It's interesting that you asked this question, because there was a point a couple of years ago where I started thinking, like, you know, Shannon, you're going to get to a point where you reach a max that you won't be able to move beyond. And I felt like that was kind of sad, right? And then, I don't know, a couple months after having that thought or the series of thoughts, I was like, wait a minute, who says that that's even true? Like, if I keep working at this, potentially there is a limit, but I'm nowhere near it yet. So for me, I just keep setting the bar a little bit higher and higher, because I am at a point, and I'm so grateful for this, where I can manage substantial weights, and I'm so proud of myself. but I want to keep going to see what's possible, especially as a woman who's almost going to be 47, right? Like, that to me is very thrilling. And I want to see how this evolves, like the body evolves, but my spirit in conjunction with this. Like, how do I feel within myself as I'm reaching these goals? And hopefully it's inspiring other people, not to accomplish physical tasks, but to be so proud of themselves for what they're brave enough finally to do and believing in themselves to be able to do it. I feel like that's the biggest victory of all. And a long time ago, Corey interviewed me for his FLD podcast, and he said, "Why Jedi training for girls?" And as like my handle name. And
that's,
I said,
just so for those of you who are listening, that's one of Shannon's Instagram handle names.
Yeah. Jedi training for girls. And for one, like my kids, when they were little, legit thought I was a Jedi because I work with energy. And so I thought that was really cute. I'm also a huge Star Wars fan. And two, the girls part is, you know, it's a nod to all of us women who are, we're little girls trying to find our way to ourselves and to becoming in this world. And that's something that never ends. We're always coming back to that pureness, that innocence of ourselves, trying to find our way in this world fully expressed as who we are and what our soul wanted us to become in this iteration. So I just, like, what's next for me? I don't even know. Hopefully I get to guide people on their journey through this. I don't know. I just want to keep becoming the next best version. And if that means I get to press a 100-pound bag over my head, I'm going to be thrilled, thrilled.
That's so awesome. And I do want to caveat for safety being a trainer myself that lifting heavy weights is amazing and we have to build the capacity to do that. So if you're listening to this and you're like, oh, this all makes so much sense. Tomorrow I'm going to go in the gym. I'm going to find a barbell and put a whole bunch of weight plates on it because Shannon said that success comes from lifting heavy. Yes, and.
Yes, and.
The most important piece is meeting yourself where you are at, building a solid foundation, which Shannon has done for years and years and years before adding more and more and more load. So yes, strength is important. Stability is our foundation.
Goal. Yes.
To then be able to build strength on top of. And I think the biggest piece to tie it all together is you cannot go numb during a training session. You cannot put your mind elsewhere. You need to be within yourself so that you can titrate the dose so you don't end up doing damage and then sitting out the rest of the week, the month, the year, thinking that strength training is not for you. So
yeah,
have all the excitement around training, but remember, and Shannon has said this multiple times in our interview today, that it is a years long process. And that's what it's about. It's not about the final destination. If you're just trying to get your spring break bod on or your summer bod ready, and then after that, you're like, I'm done. That's not what we're talking about here.
No, no, it's a dedication to a, it's a commitment to a journey. And it really, literally, it has been years for me to be able to work up to this point. And anyone who does ask me those questions, I tell them, like, it's taken me years. Like, I've been working on trying to do this for 4 years. And it's because I've built up so much strength, stability, balance, core foundational stuff. And it's exciting when you can get to those big milestones, but what's most important is that you care for your body in such a responsible way that it creates, you know, extended longevity for you.
Amazing. Shannon, I'm so grateful to you for, well, first of all, for our friendship.
Yes.
And second of all, for hopping on and having this conversation with us. There will be more conversations with Shannon in the future. We're going to move from this very practical side deeper and deeper into the woo. But where can people connect with you if they want to follow along with your journey or ask you any questions?
Yeah. So if you're on Instagram, I'm Jedi Training for Girls. There is a period between each of those words. And then if you are interested in more of the woo, I have another account, Gratitude Maven, all one word. And that's where I talk a lot more about the energy work that I do. I write poetry based on my experiences helping clients. And, you know, send me a message if you have questions about anything.
Shannon is amazing. Shannon, this has been such an inspiring conversation. I love hearing how this journey has helped transform you from the inside out. Friends, if you took something away from today's episode, share it. Share it on Instagram, share it with a friend, share it with someone who needs to hear this. And as always, if you're loving the podcast, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. I'll see you next time. Remember that you are limitless.
The information shared on Coffee Talk with Lena Midlet is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended as medical, psychological, or professional advice. While we discuss wellness, health, and personal development, nothing in this podcast should be taken as a substitute for professional guidance. Always consult with a qualified healthcare provider before making any changes to your health or wellness routine. The views expressed by guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the host. By listening, you agree to take full responsibility for your own health and well-being.